Oh God, we exalt you this morning, Lord. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods.
Well, let's sing a tune this morning, church.
I exalt.
got a little video this morning to play for you, and it's really important to invite people to church, but it's even more important to invite people to the Easter service, amen, because a lot of people would come. And if you did it this year, it might go something like this. Put it on, Amanda.
You want to go to church with me on Easter?
You want to go to church with me on Easter?
You know, I already went at Christmas time, but, okay.
Great.
Just tell me the date.
April Fool's.
So you don't want me to go to church with you?
I just asked you.
You did, sorry. Just tell me the date.
April Fool's.
Okay, I need you to be serious right now.
What? I'm being serious. I want you to go to church with me on Easter. April Fool's.
No, I'm not going to fall for this. So the answer to your invite is no, I'm not going to go to church with you on Easter.
What are you doing? I want you to go to church with me. I think you'll really like it.
Let me guess. April Fool.
Yes.
No.
Please.
No.
Wow.
Okay. I'll go.
Great.
April Fool's.
Exactly.
No, I was just playing along.
What are you talking about?
Aren't you playing a joke on me?
No, I am inviting you to go to church with me on Easter.
Okay. I'll go.
Great. Pick you up at 8. April Fool's.
When is Easter?
Easter is on Sunday, April 1st. April Fool's Day.
Amen. So it may be a real conversation piece for you to invite somebody on Easter to church. April Fool's. Amen. Hallelujah. Andrea, come on up. Andrea was away last weekend. She went to Eastern Pentecostal Bible College, but it's no longer that. It's called Masters now. And you had a great time, I suspect, by the look on your face. So why don't you share about that for a couple minutes with us? And I think you also had a prayer request that you want to pray over.
God is good. And all the time. So I ended up going to Masters for 3 days for something called Prodigy Week. What days? So we ended up going to Peterborough. We stayed there for 3 days. We slept there for 3 days. We got to see how it was being a master's student, which is really awesome. God was so there. And we had some sessions where we'd have a pastor speak and worship and all that. What really was amazing is how we were over 100, close to 200 people there, and we were all worshiping. It was something. It was absolutely amazing. God was definitely there. I got to meet all the teachers and all of them, and I got to speak with some of the students, and I am just so excited. I'm ready to finish high school and go right towards masters for sure. I made some friends over there. One of my friends particularly, she's not a master's student. She's thinking about it. Because she feels that God wants her to be a youth pastor, but she's not exactly sure. She's not sure as to whether he wants her to go to masters or go somewhere else. So I was hoping that us as a church, we could pray for her. Because unfortunately, as I was going to masters, we're not as many as we should be studying there. So I think it's important to have prayer over anybody who wants to do what God wants them to do. So I want to pray for Anne. Also, for those of you who do not know, yesterday we had a firehouse family reunion. We were over 40. Unfortunately, not all of them are Christians. They've heard the word, but they haven't followed through it So I would like to pray for them as well. But I believe that when you pray over people with hands on, it makes a difference. So I'm going to ask some people to step forward. So I'm going to ask Matt, Amanda, Brianna, Laura, Amy, Emily, Simone, Josh, Dan, to step forward, please. Brianna, toi aussi. Ita. So I want to pray over these people, not just for them individually, but everybody else that are not here, or that are close to their age, or who are not following, who are following. And so I'm going to ask the pastor and Betty to come forward and lay hands on them. And I believe that if you want to come forward and lay hands on them, you may. Or if you want to sit at your seat, just let your hands out, please. Heavenly Father, we just raise you up all these kids and young adults and teens, Lord God. Lord God, I pray that they get deeper into you, Lord, and that they do what you want them to do, Lord God. And I pray for people who are not here but need you, Lord God. They know you, but they don't search for you. They don't want more of you. So I pray for hunger, Lord. I just want everybody to be saved. It breaks my heart, Lord. Lord God, I lift you up, Anne, Lord, as she's not exactly sure where you want her to be, Lord. I just pray that you show yourself to her and as to what you want her to do. I pray for everybody who's standing up here who I've asked. I pray that they go where you want them to go, that they are not afraid to speak your name. Lord God, I just lift you up, everybody, Lord God. Even if I didn't name their names, just everybody, just be with them. And as one of the pastors preached at Prodigy Days, that we shouldn't have multiple fires. We should just have one. And that whenever there is a storm that is coming, that you are the provider of the gasoline to keep our fire going, because we cannot do this on our own. You are just so amazing, God. And I just thank you for all the blessings you have done in my life and in our lives, Lord, and that you will be doing in our lives. I just pray that you keep using us, Lord, to bring more people to you, as it is not about us, it's about you. You are just so amazing, God. And we should keep wanting more of you. And we should want other people to want more of you. If ever we feel afraid, or if we shouldn't ask, take that away and let's just go and ask. Because you are so good and amazing, and you are our Lord and Savior. You are just so amazing. And I thank you for the 3 days of Masters, and I can't wait to go.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you,
God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, guys. It's good to hear a candidate for Bible college praying. When I went to Bible college, I met some students who didn't know how to pray. And it's sad to hear that when they go to Bible college, they're in training, that they didn't know how to pray. But I prayed that somehow that something would happen while they're there and that they would get a hold of God and begin to pray. So good to hear you pray this morning, Andrea, and the things that you're doing. I'm proud of Andrea. How about you as a church?
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm enjoying the service this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm really, really being blessed. You know, there's some times that you just feel a little more blessed than other times. I mean, not that we don't come to church and never get a blessing, but I believe that we do get a blessing. God, can you just turn this down a bit? It sounds like it's echoing a bit. Thank you. We come to church, and you know, and I really believe that it's up to us when we come in here. I mean, the team has assembled all these songs for us to worship in, and when we come in, it would be a shame for us not to worship. And I believe that when we come in here and we start singing songs about Jesus, wouldn't it be good to begin to worship him? And I just felt like the worship was so free this morning and so good and so deep. And you know, you get into that place in worship and you don't want to leave it. And it's a wonderful place. So trust that you have worshiped this morning. And thank you, worship team, for the songs and the preparation and the work that goes into that. We are blessed, amen? We're blessed to have a great worship team, and all of them were here this week, and it was so good to have them all here. We missed three of them last week, and it's good to have you here this morning. They sing good, and the Mass Choir of Cornwall Pentecostal Church is just awesome, and you do a fantastic job, amen. Go ahead, Amanda, put up my PowerPoint. I trust that everybody got one of these little sheets. I just gave these two out to the greeters to give to you, that it would be a blessing to you as kind of giving you direction of where we're going this morning. And I'm going to talk about an exciting subject, exciting to the church, maybe not so much for those who are not into the fold yet of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's an exciting subject. So I trust that you'll take that piece of paper. Now, I put some questions on there just to stir you up a little bit by way of remembrance for some who know scriptures and some who know these things. But perhaps there's somebody here that you looked at one of the questions and you don't know the answer for it. And maybe this morning something will come through to you, and thank you that Sunday school kids are going out. But this morning I pray that something will come through this message and will bring something into your heart to bring you closer to God. How many want to get closer to God? Amen. And John, it's good to see you this morning. Wow, awesome, good to see you. Praise God. You know, when some are going through some real illnesses and you don't see them very often, but when you get to see them, it's like, you know, going to Florida and see the palm tree waving. You know, it's just good to see you. I see a palm tree there and waving, so it's good to see you. Hallelujah. Well, welcome to church. Good to have each and every one of you here. Jackie, it's nice to have you here as well. We'll be in St. Joseph's on Wednesday at 2 o'clock. I am doing the service there on Wednesday afternoon, so we'll be there to see you. And for Leona and Nelson and others that we've kind of befriended while we're there. If anybody wants to come along and join us, we just have a great time in there as we go in, and we call it a seniors service. But if you're not a senior yet, you're as welcome as the rest of us to come in. But we gauge the service towards the seniors, but we have a great time. We have a lot of fun. In fact, we get kind of youthful at times. And Jackie kind of heads up the field there, and she brings us along with the joy of Jesus. Amen. So that's on Wednesday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. If you're not doing anything, come along with us to St. Joseph's. So would you turn with me in your Bibles, if you have them, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We've been going through 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's been a real blast, hasn't it? A lot of fun. And we are kind of getting down towards the end of chapter 15. We spoke last week about the first Adam and the second Adam. How many know who the first Adam was? He was the guy that married Eve, that God gave him Eve, his wife. And the two of them decided that they were going to not listen to God, that they said, well, we can kind of maybe take a piece of the fruit or whatever, and it looks good to us, let's go ahead and eat it. And so they ate it, even going against the Word of God. How many know it's not good to go against the Word of God? And when you get the Word of God in you and you have that feeling to go against the Word of God, you get that conviction. Have you ever felt that guilt and that feeling that comes over you when you've done something that you know is against God's Word? And it's not a good feeling that we get in our spirit, but thank God for the God's Word that puts that in there to make us feel that way so that we'll do better next time. Amen? So Adam and Eve, they brought us into the sinful category that you and I are in. Ever since Adam and Eve, all the way down, we are born in shape and in iniquity. You just read the Psalms. We are born with sin. How many know when you get a little child and you bring them into this world, it doesn't take very long for them to start sinning. Amen? Just tell a child, no, you can't have any cookies. Go ahead. And you'll find that they will watch you and make sure you're not looking. You go into the other room, they will take a cookie. Now, why is that? It's because the sin nature that is embedded in each and every one of us. They don't know what it is, but they know that they like cookies. And so Adam and Eve, they like fruit. And so they wanted to take of that fruit. And so we're all under that. But thank God when God sent his only begotten son into this world, his name is Jesus. They call him in the scripture here in 1 Corinthians 15, the second Adam. Or the Lord Jesus Christ. When he came into this world, because man brought us into sin, by man we are brought out of sin, and it's by the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that the Father sent his Son into this world to die for you and I. Amen? So here we are, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We want to bring us to the next portion of Scripture as we conclude. We're talking about the gospel. We're talking about the resurrection. We're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about what you and I can glean from the Word of God. So here it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Now, this is what Paul says to the church at Corinth. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Father, thank you for this word. I just long for more of your presence. I want more of you, Lord. And then whenever we read your words, whenever we read something from the wonderful scriptures that you have given to us, Lord, incorporate it into our hearts and our lives. Take it deep in there, Lord. Let it find a resting place, a lodging place in our hearts today. I know it's just a few scriptures, but just a sentence from you, Lord, is enough. Just sometimes a phrase is enough. But God, as we look at your word this morning, I pray somebody would be touched, somebody would be blessed. Maybe somebody would get saved here today. Somebody would get closer to you. Whatever the results, I leave them with you, Holy Spirit, and just wanting more of you. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said? Amen. Well, I want to speak today on a very, very important subject that pertains to only those who believe in Jesus Christ. Only those who believe in Jesus Christ and have accepted him as their Savior. If you are here today and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then I would recommend that it's a pretty good thing to do in your life to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and form a relationship with him. He wants to be your friend. In fact, you can't get a better friend than the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that when you come to either accepting or ignoring Jesus, it's a life and death issue. It's something that pertains to everything that you have here and in eternity. So this doctrine that we're going to speak about today, I put it right at the top of your page, the coming of the Lord, and also in question number one, do you know what is meant by the rapture? And so we speak today about the rapture of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Bible. It's a documented but not happened yet event. Documented but not happened yet. I like reading stuff like that. Documented but not happened yet. So that's what we're talking about today. See, Jesus came once. It's documented. It has happened. He came. He was born into this world. We celebrated the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ at Christmas. He was born into this world. There was a virgin birth. He was raised as a child in the age of 30. He started his ministry to reach out and touch people everywhere he could go, as many people as he could get his hands on and love. And he loved them, and he healed them of their sickness, and he spoke into their lives, and he brought them closer to the Father. But then he was taken to the cross and died a death on a cross and laid to rest in a tomb, but in 3 days rose from the tomb, rose from the grave. It is documented. It is truth. Now, If you've seen the movie that we showed at New Year's, Seniors Moment, The Case for Christ, there we are. The Case for Christ, if you've seen that, there was a man there, Lee Strobel, who did everything to find out about who the Lord Jesus Christ was, if he was real. And he said, well, you can't really believe just in the Bible because that's by a bunch of religious people. And so they were kind of prejudiced if they wrote that and they believed in God. So he said, well, try finding out from some of the secular historians back in those days. And you'll go back, and Josephus and many other historians wrote about this, and they didn't know Jesus Christ, but they wrote about that. So it's a documented fact. Jesus Christ came into this world. He died upon a cross. He went to a grave, and he was raised from the grave. It's a documented fact, and it's truth. But there is also the documentation in our Bibles about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the second coming, if you will, if we could say that this morning, the second coming of Jesus Christ into this world. And he will come, there will be another appearance of Jesus in this world. A lot of people don't believe in the first appearance, but there's going to be a second appearance. Well, it doesn't matter if you don't believe in the first appearance. The second appearance is going to be for this whole wide world. And it says in the Bible that every eye will see him. Some will be rejoicing and some will have great sorrow because when they see him. But there's going to be a second appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a documented fact, but it hasn't yet happened. Many people choose not to believe that Jesus Christ came into this world 2,000 years ago. And sad to say, many, even some people in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ are in the place where they don't even believe in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They doubt the fact. They're happy and they're quite content to believe that Jesus Christ came once. Let's sing songs about Christmas. Let's sing songs about all these things. But I don't know, but I'm coming back a second time. So they have doubts and they're skeptics in the crowd. And I'm sure that there's a lot of people that aren't open to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe that everything centers around our belief or faith in who Jesus is, in his coming the first time, and what he's done in the past and what he's going to do in the future. Everything in what you and I believe in faith and structure of our life in Christ belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything he's done from that documented moment, that virgin birth, all the way down to that second coming, everything is documented about him. You know, I love songs about the coming of the Lord, and I should have told the guys that I was going to talk about the rapture today, and they could have brought us out some good songs on the second coming of the Lord, and I didn't do that. I forgive me, guys and girls, that I should have done that. But there's a lot of good songs that we sometimes put some songs away, and I think that over the years, because a lot of people don't know if they believe in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, some of those songs have been shelved and put away, and I think that we need to bring some of those songs back, talking about the coming of the Lord. And I just sat there for about 5 minutes, and I came up with about a half a dozen songs about the coming of the Lord. Can I just kind of plug you into some of these songs for just a minute? I could do that. Like a song, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, then time will be no more. You heard that one? When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder. Oh, good. I'm glad you're going to be there. Hallelujah. That's good. I like that song. And how about, mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. And one that Betty sung at her mother's funeral service, some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Battles all won. Amen. How about, he's coming soon, he's coming soon, with joy we'll welcome his returning. It may be morn, it may be night or noon, we know he's coming soon. Hallelujah. Don't you like those songs that talk about his coming? And he's coming soon. Hallelujah. Or there is going to be a meeting in the air, in that sweet, sweet by and by. I'm going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. It's glorious, I do declare, but God's own Son will be the living water in that meeting in the air. Hallelujah. I like that. Then we're... You know, it's good enough for adults to sing some of these songs. Yeah, you did a good job this morning, Elvis. Good. Amen. Good clapping. Hallelujah. I like your voice. That's a cool voice. It's got that love. I always like the kids when they get into the Sunday school class, and they sing some songs too. They just don't sing songs about Jesus and all that. They sing songs about the coming of the Lord as well. Like one I used to sing with our kids in Sunday school, somewhere in outer space, God has prepared a place for those who trust him and obey. Jesus will come again, although we don't know when. The countdown's getting closer every day. 10 and 9, 8 and 7, 6 and 5 and 4. Call upon the Savior while you may. 3 and 2 coming through the clouds in bright array. Countdown's getting closer every day. We used to sing that with the kids, and they loved it. That's a good one for the kids, isn't it? Amen. Praise God. So I like singing songs. I like reading the scriptures that deal with the coming of the Lord. And we cannot neglect this scripture. It is truth. It is factual. Even though it hasn't happened yet, it is a documented fact that Jesus Christ is coming back. And if I was to say today, you know, because of who Jesus is, if I was to say to you today, there's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and that is only by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if I was to say to you, there's only one way to heaven, and it's this door right over here. So if you go through that door, you're going to go to heaven. Now, everybody look at it and say, I don't know. I've seen a lot of doors in my life, you know. Don't all doors lead to the places, you know, that we're going to go through? I said, no, this door is the one that will lead you to heaven. And if I was to tell you that, and say, I don't know, I've seen things around, you know, and I don't know. What makes you think that that door is the way to heaven? Isn't that how people talk to us about Jesus? You know, we say that to them. If we say Jesus is the only way to heaven, well, I don't know. Like, you know, there's a lot of good religions out there. Look at everywhere I've found that Christianity's preached, blessings fall. Like, all I've seen, like I'm not criticizing other cultures or other religions or whatever, but I look at some of the scenes in our world. If somebody believes in religion, to strap some dynamite on themselves and walk into a crowd of people and blow up as many people as they can, that religion doesn't work for me. Amen. Doesn't work for me. Jesus sent us out into this whole wide world to love, 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 love people, bring them to himself. And I kind of like that. So a lot of times people, when you get to that place, there's only one way to heaven. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you like to enter that door? And even Jesus notified himself and showed and documented himself as the only way. And he's the door. John chapter 10, he said, Jesus, in fact, he used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. And Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. But I am the door. If anyone enters by me, this is what he says, he will be saved. He will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. It's like you eat and eat and eat and eat and enjoy. Amen? Today, so ours is the only time to waste if we don't come to him. Ours is the only time to waste if we don't believe in Jesus Christ. You're not wasting somebody else's time. You're wasting your own time if you don't find out the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, I look back and I lived all my life knowing about the door and hearing about the door, maybe even dropping into church every now and then on Christmas and Easter and all that. But it wasn't until December 23rd, 1973 that I really came to the door and I said, Jesus, if you're the only way, I want to come in. And so I opened the door,
And he came into my heart, my life, and ever since 1973, my life has been different. It's been wild and up and down and everything else, but I'm holding on. I'm clinging to the old rugged cross, and it's a great place to be. So I believe the resurrection of Jesus plays a big, big role in identifying ourselves with him. And really in what awaits us in this finality of life, that being of death or at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, every one of us is going to die or until the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to go up with him. Whatever comes first individually, as I told you last week, I don't like pain. I'm waiting for the rapture. I'm really praying for the rapture. I really want a rapture. I probably may be one of the hardest prayer warriors for God now. Come back today. Like I go right to the end of the book. You know, it says, come quickly, Lord Jesus. You know, I'm really hyper on that verse. I'm just really on that. Come quickly, Jesus. Come quickly today, please. You know, that's the way I pray. Amen. So anyway, forgive me. But I know that all of us will go through either death or we'll be going up in the air in this rapture that he's talking about. So we've been talking about the gospel. The gospel is truth. The gospel centers around the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, the gospel is Jesus Christ. You can't get anything else. Sometimes people think, well, the four gospels, four books, that's the gospel. No, it just talks about Jesus. We call them the gospels, but the gospel is Genesis to Revelation, the whole Bible. That's the Bible, that's the gospel, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else matters in that sense. And as we read the Bible, we keep him in view in our mind, and he must be the center always of what we know, sense, feel, read, and see in light of where we are in the here, now, and for the future. Amen? I don't know if many of you saw or read about a fellow who died this week. Stephen William Hawking. Anybody hear about his death this week? Been a very important man in the science realm. Let me just give you some terminology of what his life represented. Now, these are big words. I hope I don't put you in fear or not, but this is what a science person would do, a scientist. And they talk about that he's very well known in the science world. His scientific works included a collaboration with Roger Penrose on gravitational singularity theorems in the framework of general relativity and the theoretical prediction that black holes will emit radiation. You know, I don't really care if black holes emit radiation. Maybe somebody where out in space people do, but that's what he had. Hawking was the first to set out a theory of cosmology explained by a union of the general theory of relativity and quantum mechanics. Anybody ever heard of quantum mechanics? He's the dude who brought that into play. He was a vigorous supporter of the many worlds interpretation of quantum mechanics. Now, listen to this. Hawking stated that he was not religious in the normal sense, and he believed that the universe is governed by the laws of science. Hawking stated there is a fundamental difference between religion, which is based on authority, and science, which is based on observation and reason. That's what he said. Observation and reason. That's what a lot of people go by, is what I observe and what does it mean. They go by observation and reason. He says science will win because it works. In 2008, Hawking stated the laws may have been decreed by God, but God does not intervene to break the laws. In an interview published in The Guardian, Hawking regarded the brain as a computer which will stop working when its components fail, and the concept of heaven is as a myth. Believing that there is no reason or afterlife and that such a notion was a fairy story for people afraid of the dark. So he says. In 2011, when narrating the first episode of the American television series Curiosity on the Discovery Channel, perhaps many of you have seen that, Hawking declared, "We are each free to believe what we want, and it is my view that the simplest explanation is there is no God. No one created the universe, and no one directs our fate. This leads me to a profound realization. There is probably no heaven, no afterlife either. We have this one life to appreciate the grand design of the universe, and for that I am extremely grateful." And in September 2014, he joined the Starmus Festival as keynote speaker and declared himself as atheist. He did not believe in God. God is in control. God is in control.
And each and every one of us must make a decision for or against God. Now, for me to say that this man, as we all are, puny little person here on planet Earth, to say that there is nobody there. I wonder when you make a statement like that, where you're stepping into. Because I believe that we always think with these puny little brains. But if there is a God and He made this whole wide universe, I think He's a little bigger than you and I. How about you? You know, it doesn't matter how much education we had. And he had, I looked at his name in the internet, and he's got all these letters, C-A-P-A-R-A and Ph.D. and everything else. He's got a long list of these letters after his name. And it doesn't really matter how much education you have or have not. It doesn't really matter how much money you have or have not. But we need to make a decision. And I believe that that's only in a belief to accept or reject the Lord Jesus Christ. As I read this article, I can only hope that Stephen Hawking, in his last moments on planet Earth, before his heart failed him on March 14th of this last week, I can only pray that somehow, as he kind of said, no, no God, science only, and as he started having that battle over his whole life about trying to dispute that there is no God and everything else, I hope that somewhere he fell back on the side, as his waning breath started coming to his body, that somehow he said, well, maybe there is. And if there is, I've been lied to all my life. And maybe, I just pray that always that people, even in their last breath, would come to Jesus. I can only hope that for him. Because we must understand that Jesus is Savior of this world. Savior of this world. Even though the world does not see him, nor will they regard him as their Savior, but thank God when Jesus came into this world, he declared himself to be the Savior of this world. They come to faith in God and they have a Savior and they are saved. Stands to reason. Stands to reason. To believe in a Savior, then you are saved. Amen? Amen. Savior, Jesus. Jesus, Savior. The two words are so closely linked. And at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, remember when those shepherds stood on the hillside? We talked about that just a couple of months ago, dealing with Christmas. When they were amazed, all these shepherds, and the sky was filled with all these angelic beings. And as those angels were above them, they heard these words, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." They needed to hear that word. You know, I looked into that word Savior. The word in the Greek is soter, which means Savior, Deliverer, Redeemer, Preserver, one who rescues. How many know that we need rescuing from Adam's sin? Even Mary, who is highly venerated and talked about so often, even Mary bowed to God as her Savior. Luke chapter 1, verse 46, Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Savior. And then when you get to Paul's letters, he emphasized over and over and over again about the Savior to all men. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, "For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe." He's the Savior of all men, but if you believe today, he's your Savior, is what Paul is saying to us. Hallelujah. Is he your Savior today? I trust he is. See, the problem with humanity is that they lack understanding or they don't see their need of salvation. You know, how do you get that across to somebody out there that's got $1 million and they're going through life, they've got a limousine, they got this, they got that and everything else, say, "You need a Savior." Huh? I need a Savior? We ask them, they would say, "What do I need to be saved from?" That's what they say to us, isn't it? I don't recognize anything I need to be saved from. So what you are telling me is, I need to be saved from something, and so they say. They go on and on and on and on about those things. I spoke last week about the first Adam and the second Adam. Well, I always tell people, you are Adam's sin. You're born in sin. You lie, you steal, you cheat, and you do all those things. But I don't lie and steal. Yeah, you never stole a cookie? Never took a pencil from the office? You never did this? You never told a white lie? I know it's a white lie. Those seem to be okay in our world. We're born into a world of sin. We're born into this world. We are sinners. Come on. The first thing they do in AAA is, "Are you an alcoholic?" "No, not me." You got to admit it. I am a sinner. But guess what? I found a Savior. And he saved me from my sins. Hallelujah. I mean, we need that in our life. We got to confess it up. You know, see, most of us here are rescued. Most of us here are saved and have allowed Jesus to come into our life. And he, through your prayers, came into your life. Your life, you are reading the Bible. You're studying the scriptures. You're praying. You're coming to church. You're doing all the right things. But sometimes there's people that are just away from God. You know, I want to proceed deeper and higher into the life of Jesus. How about you? Amen. See that? Some people say, why church? You know, well, why do we send our kids to school? To grow, to learn. ABCs, mathematics, you know, and so forth. We send them to school to get knowledge. And I believe that the church is very essential to us as Christians. We come in here. Like, I just stand up here and open some scriptures. I pour some thoughts out to you. I try to encourage you to go home and study the Word of God. In those words I gave you a little while ago, I underlined some key phrases. You know, I think it's good to take your Bible and underline some key phrases. When you study the Word of God and something hits you, you're like, wow, that's pretty good. Underline it. Write it down. March 18th. This really hit me really good. You know, and write it down in your Bible. This is a textbook. It's a study book. It's a workbook. It's something that you and I can go into and just really enjoy. So we have to know that we want to go deeper in Jesus Christ and understand we need to be rescued from original sins that came from Adam. And Jesus is the hint, hint, only chain breaker. Amen. Amen. Praise God. He's the only chain breaker that could ever break our sins. Jesus has rescued me. He's rescued me. Oh, anyway. Has Jesus rescued you? Do you feel rescued? Doesn't it feel good to be rescued? I mean, can you... They always talk to these people that, you know, they were overboard from a cruise ship and somebody threw out a lifeline. They got them back in the boat. They always ask them, what's it feel like? Glad I'm back on boat. Right? I'm glad I'm back in line with God. Glad I'm back in line. Rescued us from our present sins. And guess what? Jesus rescues us from our sins that we'll do tomorrow. Anybody here think they're perfect today? Well, maybe you may be walking for a minute or two in perfection. Wait till Monday morning hits. You know, it tries that all the time. You go into Tim Hortons, you give them some money, and they give you back too much change, and you run away. Ah, I got more money than I was supposed to get. Then all of a sudden, you feel something in your heart, and you say, oh, maybe next time I'll do it. See what happens in our life? You know, we go through all these things. He rescues us. And I think it's good for us all to, every day, come to Jesus and confess our sins. You know, I've been reading in the Old Testament, there's the sins of omission and the sins of commission, the sins that we know about and the sins that we don't know about. You know, sometimes we can hurt somebody else in our walk, everyday life. We can say something that offended them. They would not tell us. You know, something could happen to us every day of our life of which we could hurt somebody else. We could do something that we don't even know. And so back in the Old Testament, God set up the tabernacle system that says you can come up and confess your sins that you have got and put it under the blood, but there may be sins that you don't know about. And I think that we all have those kind of sins in our life that we don't know about, thank God. So I think it's a good thing to come daily to Jesus and say, God, help me. Help me to walk today in that purity and that way that you want me to walk. Because I think it's good because, and he also tells us in his word that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that wonderful? So Paul addresses this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's wonderful. And I tell you the mystery. We shall all be changed in a moment. We shall all be changed. So I like this when you get to 1 Corinthians because that's what Jesus wants to do for us is rescue us from present sins. He wants to rescue us in the future. He wants to rescue us in the future, rescue us from the end times that are told to us in the Bible. The moment of which for us as Christians will be the end times is a moment in time for planet Earth. And let me say this, it will only happen once. It will only happen once. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world, it only happened once. And Jesus Christ is coming back, and it will only happen once, just like his birth. It will bring about, when he comes back the second time, the end times of which we read about in the book of Revelations. How many like the book of Revelations? I love the book of Revelations. It's a place to go if you want a good scare. Talks about the tribulation and all that pertains to the end times. And we could call it that was the place of the rescue. I, for one, when I read the book of Revelations, would not look forward to having to go through those things of which I read in the book of Revelations, of what the Bible refers to as the last days or the end times when Jesus is coming back. I read about the Battle of Armageddon, the seven-year tribulation, the millennial kingdom, the period on earth, and all these things will happen to those on the earth in the last days. But those only who deny the existence of Jesus will be facing the book of Revelation. What am I looking forward to as a Christian? What do we look forward to because we're washed in the blood of the Lamb? Is the extraction of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ from planet Earth. It's a documented fact. It has not happened yet, okay? The extraction of the church, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ from planet Earth. It is referred to as the rapture. It's the great rescue plan of God. Revelations 19, verse 7 says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready." We are preparing ourselves right now. We're the bride, we're the wife of the Lord Jesus Christ. The groom is coming back one day, and we are the bride. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, "For I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ," says Paul, the church. He's trying to get them closer and closer to Jesus. Did you all know that one day, and I believe soon, the end is coming, and that you and I are the bride of Christ? We are the bride of Christ. We will be extracted from the world, taken out, or theologically speaking, we will be raptured. Now that's a good term, rapture. Sometimes. Come on. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You get down there right now. Okay. In the name of Jesus, John will fix it. Praise God. If you can bring up, oh, there it is. Hallelujah. I want to bring up that big word, rapture. You know, I've been told over the years, and a lot of people, whenever they hear that we believe in the rapture, they kind of look at us with these weird looks on their face. And I've been told that the word rapture is not in the Bible. And as they say that to me, then it kind of like, oh, it's not in the Bible? Oh, the word rapture is not there? Well, then I started thinking, well, maybe it's not true. And they started kind of sowing doubt into your heart and skepticism. But I just want to calm your nerves this morning. Yes, the word rapture is nowhere found, the word rapture in your Bible. Okay? You will not find, I don't care which version you go through or Strong's Concordance, the word rapture is not in your Bible. Okay? So you got that understood? Now let me put up these other two words here that to make you understand. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. Oh, who did that? The word Trinity is not in the Bible. How many know the Trinity is true? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I mean, verses all talk about that. Even Jesus in those last words to the church, "You go into all the world, proclaim the good news, and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit." Didn't say in the Trinity. He said the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the word Trinity is not in the Bible. So because the word Trinity is not in the Bible, let's throw it out. No, just because it's not there, we don't throw it out. Now, the word Bible is not in the Bible. So if the word Bible is not in there, maybe we don't have a Bible. What on earth are we calling this thing a Bible for? You know, when you start thinking about, well, if the word Bible is not there in the Bible, maybe it's not true either. See how we get into all these places of confusion or whatever led down a garden path? But if you go through the Bible, even though the word Bible is not there, the commandments of God, the scriptures, the doctrines, the laws, the decrees, you go through all those words that kind of lead us to that place, even though the Bible's not there, but it talks about the Word of God. You know, and it's all through our Bible. So even though you won't find rapture there, you won't find Bible there, you won't find Trinity there, and I'm sure there's other things you may not find there, does not take away from what we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So I just wanted to get that across. Now, rapture is derived from a Middle French raptura via the medieval Latin raptura, seizure or kidnapping, which derives from the Latin raptus, a carrying off. And these things that we have in our vocabulary, which we may not find a particular word for in our Bibles, does not mean that they are not real. But the theory of it all is very consistent with Scripture, giving us details of these things. Very direct Scriptures that give us these things. And I want to give you one portion of Scripture that deals with the rapture, even though the word rapture is not there. I want to give you a powerful portion of Scripture. See if it works. Oh, there it works. Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now listen to these words. If you've never read them, maybe you've read them before, and you'll just be fall so much in love when you hear these words again in your heart, okay? This is what Paul says to the church at Thessalonica. But I do not want you to be ignorant. How many know what ignorant means? It means you don't know about it. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who've fallen asleep. Now that's a nice way to say those who have deceased, those who passed away. For those who fall asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Like if everybody thinks, well, the grave is it, then we've got no hope. No hope. It ends there. But, he says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, notice how I underline these things for you. You may want to underline them in your Bible. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus, those passed away. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain right now, this is where I'm praying for, until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Now, he was born into the world at Christmas, but he's coming back as a full-grown man. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and this is going to be neat. I can hardly wait for the rapture. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Hallelujah. Then we who are alive and remain, wouldn't it be nice to have the rapture right now? We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, when we come to church, we're comforting one another with these words. We're sending out comfort right now. Just in case you thought the grave was the finale of it all, I want to comfort you today that Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back for his bride. He's coming back for his bride. Comfort one another with those. So I put down at the bottom, note the underlined words, okay? Now, those two words caught up in the Greek are harpazo, which means to carry off or take or snatch away, catch up, catch away, seize. Anybody ever seen that movie Left Behind? There was two parts of it. One back in 2000 with a fellow by the name of Kirk Cameron, who was in it. And then it just came out a few years ago in 2014 with Nicolas Cage in it. I highly recommend, if you don't understand the rapture, you know, they always say a picture's worth a thousand words, get the movie and watch either one. I prefer Kirk Cameron because Kirk Cameron is a Christian man and played the role in that movie. Nicolas Cage, I don't know about him. You know, but anyway, you may want to get either one of those movies, and they both are good, and they present the rapture situation. Another good movie that was back in the 70s was a series called Thief in the Night, and it had a series of movies that came out with it, and they're very old movies, and I don't know if you can still get them or not. I think Simone has them, so see her after the sermon today, and she'll probably rent them out to you, right? Yeah, $5 a video. No, I'm just kidding. Rapture simply means to transport from one place to another, to another. And when we use the term, we mean the catching away or the catching up of the Christians to meet the Lord in the air. And you could, this is one portion of Scripture that I give you in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, but you could go to other places that talk about the rapture, the getting to Jesus. It says in Philippians chapter 3, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. Then you can go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I like that.
Then you go to Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love John chapter 14, verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Don't you love these scriptures? And the warning goes out. I like the warning that Dr. Luke gave us in Luke chapter 21, verse 36. Rather, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, to stand before the Son of Man. And then you get to the church in Revelation. Remember those seven churches in Revelations? You get down to that one church, Philadelphia, that seemed like the only good church in the whole bunch of them. But Revelations chapter 3, verse 10, this is the promise of God to the church of Philadelphia, and I believe to the church that stays close to Jesus. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Jesus promises to keep us from the book of Revelations if we follow him, and to keep it going and persevere, stay steadfast. So over these weeks, we've talked about, number one, the gospel. We've talked about, number two, the resurrection. I want you to understand the Lord will return. The gospel is important for us to understand. The gospel is the truth of everything that we read in the Bible. The resurrection is very powerful because he's telling us there is hope after we die. Should we die in this world, there will be a resurrection one day. He promises that. That's factual. Even though it's documented, it hasn't happened yet, but one day it will. It will one day. Thank God. And it says in the Word of God that it's going to be sudden. Yep. Amen. The twinkling of an eye. The twinkling of an eye. It will be like a thief in the night. That's what the Word of God says to us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 says, concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, in other words, oh, everything's going good in the world, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4 says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, that we read, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's when Jesus is coming back. Have you ever seen the twinkle of an eye? I see that in Betty's eyes all the time. I know what a twinkle is. It's going to be happening that fast. That fast. Like, you know, you start thinking about this. You're not going to get a text message saying it's going to happen. For all you people with smartphones, it's not going to help you. Technology will not help us. You're not going to get a text message. There will be no emails saying tomorrow at this time the rapture will happen. There'll be no emails. You will not even, like Donald Trump likes to do, tweet or Twitter or whatever he likes to do all the time. There'll be no hashtags about when Jesus is coming back. You won't be able to go on Facebook and find out, oh, he's coming tomorrow. It says it on Facebook. Well, Facebook always tells you the truth, right? So people tell me. You will not be able to Skype with Jesus and say, Jesus, is it today? No, there's no Skype. There is no FaceTime, no messaging like, you know, beam me up, Scotty, or anything else. It's going to be sudden. It's going to be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. There'll be no broadcasting of it. You better be ready. You better be ready. Nothing to say that Jesus is going to return tomorrow, Monday at 12 noon. He's not returning tomorrow. Maybe he will return sooner. I don't know. And the reason why we have no time when Jesus will come back is because we need to stay close to him every moment. Don't think that Monday, well, he hasn't come back yet. I'll just live like the devil all this week long and do what I want. You stay close to Jesus because he may come back on Monday. He may come back on Monday. Jesus is coming. He will return. He has said he will return. The gospel tells us he's coming back. His church knows he's coming back. It's first. It's all documented. It's all documented. It's truth. It hasn't happened yet, but it's real. Matthew chapter 25 tells us of those 10 virgins. You've read the parable about the 10 virgins. 5 were prepared, or as it says, wise virgins, and 5 were unprepared and foolish virgins. Quite the scenario of our world at present, I would say, as you look at that.
It says to me in Matthew chapter 25, verse 6, right in the middle of this parable of these 10 virgins, it says, and at midnight a cry was heard. At midnight a cry was heard, and they shouted, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. And we knew that the five foolish virgins had forgot to get the lamp oil. They couldn't see their way in the dark. And I tell you, that's something like our world right now. They do not have the knowledge of God. They do not have Jesus as Savior. They're walking around in darkness thinking they've got it all. Just like Stephen, that I showed you his hawking, that of his thought of science. Tell me, are you ready for that moment when Jesus shall come back? Are you ready for that moment, that call, that cry, that instance, the trump of God sounding? I trust you are. I trust you are. You see, Jesus prophesied over the church in dealing with the end times. And I love going to chapter 24, Matthew chapter 24. All those things that we are pre-warned of, the things that will happen, wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and pestilence and famines and all these things in our world. I mean, we're seeing a lot of this stuff right now, but they're going to be steeped up in the last days. But I like when Jesus gets to the end of all these things about dealing with all the issues and the things that will happen in planet Earth. He says this in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. This gospel. So I'm pretty strong on the gospel, right from Genesis to Revelations. This gospel, he says, the kingdom of God, will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So, technology. I love technology. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Interesting. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It sounds like something spiritual to me. How about you? Second thing I read up there, that corruption cannot inherit incorruption. Anybody know what corruption means? It means gone bad. You ever got something that's corrupted, like a banana gone bad? Ugh. Throw it out. In other words, bad can't come back to good. Corruption cannot inherit incorruption. Then it says, thirdly here, we shall not all sleep. We won't all be dead. One day Jesus is coming back, and those people will be alive on planet Earth when he comes back. So it's going to be a people from the graves and people who are alive. But we shall all be changed, it says. The change of what we are now to what we shall be. I'm hardly looking forward to that. You know, no more aches, no more pains, no more medications, no more going to the doctor, no more worrying over this, whether they, you know, your son and daughter make it home or whatever. Like, no more worry. You just get there, no sorrow, no crying, no tears, nothing. Just joy in Jesus when we get to his presence one day. Hallelujah. No more crying. Hallelujah. We'll be changed. Will happen at the last trumpet. At the sound of that trumpet, the dead will be raised to the incorruptible. And we who are alive shall all be changed. Would the worship team come, please? I have no idea what you would like to play. I hope it's something good. Hallelujah. And they will, right? You know, I like to have the word for the day that they send me every day from the dictionary, Webster's Dictionary. And I get some really good words at time. And this week I got a word that says, invigilate. Now I look at these words and say, oh, invigilate, what on earth does that mean? And then it gives you the definition of the word underneath Webster's. It says to keep watch. So I encourage you today, invigilate. Okay? Look at each other and say, you need to invigilate. Hallelujah. I was reading my devotions this week, and you know, aren't devotions wonderful? They're an encouragement to us. They get us holding on. And I like the one the other day, it talked about the church. And I was thinking, here we are in March, church membership. And we've got four membership forms on the go so far. So I really encourage you, if you want to belong to a good church, this is a good place to belong to. Amen? Hallelujah. So I encourage you. There's still some forms out on the foyer table. But as I was reading my devotional, I was looking at this. And I just wanted to put up here in conclusion for you. Anybody ever heard of a guy by the name of Longfellow? Longfellow could take a worthless sheet of paper, write a poem on it, and make it worth $6,000. That's genius. Rockefeller, I'm sure you've heard of the Rockefellers from New York, Rockefeller could sign his name to a piece of paper and make it worth $1 million. That's wealth. A painter can take a 50-cent piece of canvas, paint a picture on it, and make it worth $10,000. That's art. Probably that way when he's dead, though. But at the bottom of the devotional, it says, but God can take a worthless, sinful life. That's us, isn't it? Wash it in the blood of Jesus Christ. Put his spirit into that soul and make it a blessing to humanity. That's salvation.
Amen.
I was getting goosebumps in my office reading that. Hallelujah. Just love that. Salvation. Aren't you glad today to be saved in Jesus Christ? Aren't you glad that God has a rescue plan for us? Aren't you glad that God, even though it's documented and it hasn't happened yet, isn't that something to hold on to in our lives, that one day we're going to be with Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever? Aren't you thrilled today to know the scriptures that it's documented here? It's been telling us, it's showing us that one day Jesus Christ is coming back. He came once, he's coming a second time. I can hardly wait for that second coming. I am praying for the rapture. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Would you stand with me, please? Heavenly Father, I pray today, thank you for the documentation of the Word of God. It's factual, it's strong, it's truth. I thank you, God, for what we can read as mere human beings, your creation. But yet, every time we read the Word of God, it brings us closer to your heart. Father, thank you for your Word. And God, I just want to praise you today for the future that you have prepared for those who believe, those who trust in you, those who commit their lives to you, those who walk with you, those who are, as the Bible says, saved, because we have a Savior. So God, I pray today, Lord, that if there's somebody here who is still on the outside, still hasn't really given their heart to you, they're not sure, I pray today, Lord Jesus, that you would touch them so much, Lord God, to help them to realize through the documentation of your book and something that this pastor has said in some of my words as best as I can say them today, Lord. But I pray that something has brought them to a realization that the best thing for them in their life is to trust in Jesus. The best thing that they could ever do, because it's a life and death issue, the best thing that they could ever do is to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. The best thing that they could ever do is to trust in this Word of God, the documentation of all the things that Jesus said, did, and will do in the future. God, I pray right now, open their hearts so wide that they could not leave the same way from this church. That they could not leave the same way, but they will open their hearts to you. Jesus, I thank you. I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you're here this morning and you're not sure about your salvation, I want you to repeat this prayer. And I want the whole congregation to repeat this prayer, because I believe it's very important that we begin to pray, just like we heard Andrea pray this morning. I think it's so good when people start praying. And so I'm going to say a prayer. I'm going to say a few words. You repeat them after me. But we're going to get there. We're going to get down to the amen. But I'm going to believe for people here this morning, perhaps you don't know him, that before you finish the prayer, you're going to know him in a great and powerful way. So could you say this prayer with me? Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for being a Savior. Thank you for being my Savior. Thank you for opening my eyes. Give me a realization that the Bible is truth. I need to start believing. Push aside the confusion. Take away the doubt. Give me the sincerity of your faith in my heart, to believe that all you did and that all you do is from you. So I believe in you now. I trust in you. I'm different. And I praise you for being my Savior, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. Let's go. Hallelujah. Praise God.
If you've been walking the same old road for for miles and miles.
That's right.
If you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies.
If you've been trying to fill the same old holes inside,
it's a better,
life.
Better life. It's a better life.
Better life. Breaker.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Oh, we've all searched for the light of day and the dead of night. We all found ourselves worn out from the same old
light. That's right. Yes.
We've all run to things we done just ain't right.
Better life.
There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's the prison shaking savior. You got chains,
he's a chain breaker.
Hallelujah. You believe it, if you receive it,
if you can feel it, somebody testify.
Come on, I got Jesus.
If you believe it,
yeah. Just receive it.
Receive it. If you can feel it, somebody testify.
I want to testify, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah.
If you believe it. If you
come on, shut it up. He's my Savior.
If you can my feel Savior. It, somebody testify.
Come on, somebody testify. Hallelujah.
If you believe it,
just receive it.
If you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. Testify. He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, baby, saving, he's a prison shaking savior.
You got chains.
He's a chain breaker.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like that. Thank you guys for singing The Chain Breaker. That was good. You know, I like when you get down to the end where it says, somebody testify.
Yes.
You know, come on. In other words, don't keep quiet. If somebody saved you like the name Jesus saved you, shh. No, somebody testify.
Amen.
Tell somebody. When you go to a restaurant, when you go somewhere, just say, hey, I'm saved. I've got a Savior. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
Just like you were sharing with me, Loretta, this morning, that she went into a restaurant last week. She was bold. I like that. I like to hear about boldness. She saw somebody who looked like they were going through something in life, and she went over and testified. That's the simple part of being a Christian, is just to show a little bit of light in life to somebody else. So somebody testify today. Don't have to do it here in church. You can do it anywhere for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Father, thank you so much. It's so good to be in the house of God. So good to be in church. We sense the joy. We sense the Spirit of God here. We sense all that you want to do. God, it's so good to worship you. Lord, I have long for worship. It's so good to get to the house of God on Sunday mornings, hear the music, get with God's people, and begin to lift my hands and to worship you, Lord. I need this, as I know that all of us need this. We need church. We need the fellowship of the body. We need one another, Lord. So thank you for Cornwall Pentecostal Church. May we continue in that strength of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, God, as we have come to a conclusion of this service, Lord, even though the service has ended, our life in you does never end, because we want to live for you, Lord God. So every step we take, Lord, we take for you. Every breath we breathe for you, Lord God. Every mind, every part of our soul, sinew, strength, everything is sold out for you, because we're told from the Word of God to love the Lord God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. So God, would you allow us to be a testimony for you, Lord, as we go from this place today. Go with us, Holy Spirit. Give us the strength and the power to follow you every day of our life. And in that wonderful, 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 wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody shouted, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. God is good.